We're going to read a few verses, actually, first of all, from chapter 1. And as I read these verses, we're going to begin at chapter 1 and verse 15 of Colossians. Look out for what the Apostle Paul is saying here about the supremacy of the Lord Jesus and the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus. Christ's supremacy and Christ's sufficiency. We're going to read Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23, and then we're going to look at, we're going to read chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, which is where our focus is going to be. So listen to this, on Christ's supremacy and his sufficiency. He, that is the Son, his beloved Son, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. And then over to chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. Therefore, that is, because of everything I've said about the Lord Jesus, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So it's the first Sunday of 2021. A very warm and happy new year to you all. What would you say is the secret to a joyful and a stable new year? A lot of people would love to know, wouldn't they, after the year we've just had? We don't need to go over all of that again. One thing, one habit, one practice, one piece of knowledge which could give a person stability and joy for the year ahead, no matter what came. Maybe you're thinking along those lines, making your New Year's resolutions, looking for that thing which will make a drastic change this year. Finding stability and joy in life, firm ground on which to stand, a sort of centeredness and peace, that's big business, isn't it? Whole industries pop up around supposed keys and secrets to a stable and a joyful life. Think about it. For example, meditation. Right? Here's the key you need. Throw out those negative thoughts. Empty your mind of all of your anxieties. Get in touch with yourself. Or mindfulness. Be more aware. Be more in the moment. More mindful of your surroundings. Or minimalism. Go through your wardrobe and throw out anything that doesn't spark joy. This is the key. This is the secret to stability and joy in 2021. And so you go home and you throw out all of your shoes. You make sure you meditate for 10 minutes before your porridge in the morning. And does it change your life? Probably not. That kind of thinking, that looking for the new idea, is a very Colossian way to think. Colossae was one of three important cities in a kind of cluster in what was called the Lycus River Valley in what we now call Western Turkey. And we get, as we do with all the letters, clues about what sort of ideas that were going around at the time from reading the letter itself. So you work through Colossians and you pick up mention of, for example, angel worship, and visions, and philosophy, as well as talk of strict religious observance and adherence to Jewish rituals. It's quite a complicated cocktail of ideas and suggestions. Do you want protection from evil spirits? Use this charm. Do you want access to a higher spiritual power? Perform this ritual. Do you want to really know the gods? Then what you need is this new spiritual experience. Everyone's talking about it. This is the key. This is the secret you need. And in the middle of this place, with all of its ideas swirling around, are a group of Christians. And Paul's message to these Christians is very simple. Yes, there is a key to joy and to stability in the Christian life, but it isn't a new experience or a new practice or a new ritual or a new set of rules. In fact, it isn't new at all. What you need is what you already have, because the secret to a stable and a joyful Christian life is Christ. Paul makes his appeal in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, first by pointing backwards and then pointing forwards. Backwards, firstly, to how their Christian life began. Firstly, as you received Christ. Verse 6a, as you received Christ. Read through Colossians, and you notice that verses 6 and 7 here are kind of hinge in the letter. And the first half, there in verse 6, points the reader back to everything Paul has already written, some of which we read together just now. And it's all we see about the Lord Jesus. Notice that with me. Have a look back, for example, at 1 verse 1, how Paul introduces himself. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, writing verse 2, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ. And then Paul's thanksgiving in 1 verse 3 is directed to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's thanking God for their faith in Christ Jesus, verse 4. He reminds them of the gospel that they'd heard, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 1, verse 13 describes the Lord Jesus as the Son who rules over a glorious kingdom, a kingdom into which the Colossian Christians have been transferred by the forgiveness of their sins. And how have their spiritual debts been cancelled? By the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, we read it together earlier. It's a soaring hymn of praise. To whom? The Lord Jesus Christ, seated at God's right hand. He is absolutely supreme. All things made by him and through him and for him, and absolutely sufficient for all of the Colossian Christians' needs, fully reconciling all things to himself by his death, giving these Christians permanent peace with God, 1 verse 22. And who is it, according to Paul, right at the center of God's saving work in the world, once a mystery but now revealed? Christ, 1 verse 27. In Christ, says Paul, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, 2 verse 3, everything the Colossians need to know is found in Christ. Christ is God's treasure chest, God's Bank of England. All the wealth and the treasure that God has for his people is received in Christ. And Paul really does mean all here. Over and over again in the letter, Paul uses the words all or full. It's all yours, he says, in Christ. You have been filled in Christ. Christ is all you need. It's as though by giving you the Lord Jesus, God has filled your glass right to the very top. He needs no supplementing. There is no top-up needed. Christ is all you needed for salvation, he reminds them. He is Christ the Lord, utterly supreme over every power and authority in heaven or earth, and he is Jesus the Savior. Their full salvation, without qualification, without small print. And how have they received this full salvation in the Lord Jesus? Well, Paul has reminded them it's through the gospel they heard. At 1 verse 7, the gospel they learned. 1 verse 23, the gospel proclaimed and heard. And notice, it's a gospel they received, a salvation they received. It's not something they've achieved or earned or figured out or unlocked with a secret key. It hasn't been hidden at the top of some Tibetan mountain, reached only by the most determined or the most spiritual or enlightened. It's come to them as a free gift, fully and simply received in Christ by faith as they heard and believed it. Theirs, if you like, were the empty hands, and God himself had done all of the filling in Christ. And what was true of them then, of course, is wonderfully true of the Christian today. It may be that some of us here, whether in the room or tuning in at home, are relatively young Christians. That maybe you feel quite young as a Christian, maybe compared to others that you know in the church. And you're very aware, you remember often that there's progress to be made and there's growing to do in maturity and in understanding. That's all true. But Paul would want you to know, as we read Colossians together, that full, unqualified salvation became yours the very moment you put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Your glass has been filled up right to the very top with Christ. And if you're joining us here and you're not a Christian, Paul is telling you that Christ is where fullness is found for you too. It might be that you're looking for something more in your life. Maybe you're becoming disillusioned with the shallow and ineffective tips and tricks that you keep being told to try out. The answer is Christ. Mindfulness may well be useful to some degree, and meditation might calm the mind, and by all means throw out all of those unnecessary clothes. I'm sure Oxfam would be very grateful, but that's just playing in the shallows. What is the deepest, richest, fullest life you could hope to live now and forever? All of God's fullness for you is found in Christ. So Paul points here backwards. He reminds them that's how their Christian life began. It's how every Christian life begins, with Christ. But how is it to continue? And Paul says, in exactly the same way. Second thing to notice, Paul says, so walk in Christ. As you receive Christ, so walk in Christ. This is verse 6b and 7. Walking is a common New Testament picture for living. Walking is a picture of progress, moving from A to B. Paul is telling them then here how to progress, how to continue in the Christian life. And what sort of answers might he give? Is it a new set of rituals to adopt? A new set of spiritual experiences to pursue? Do I need to buy a whole new set of Christian books or listen to this particular Christian preacher online or sign up for that Christian conference? Paul doesn't mention any of those things, actually. He tells us here that the key to progressing as a Christian is the same as becoming a Christian at the beginning. The way in is the way on. As you received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. This idea of being in Christ, in him, is on almost every page of the New Testament. This is the Christian's fundamental status and life now. Paul fleshes this out through Colossians in various ways. We are in Christ. There's lots of angles we could take to explain this, but it might help to think about a baby in its mother's womb. Think how that little baby is totally and completely dependent on their mother. For food, for life, for strength, for everything. So it is with the Christian and Christ. We are in him. Our life is lived in the closest possible relationship with him, in complete dependence on him for spiritual life and strength and stability and everything. Which means that the key to stability and progress and growth and strength and joy in the Christian life is Christ and our continuing relationship with Him. Now, of course, there are all sorts of helps out there to help us to trust Him more. Now, those Christian books might be a great help as they teach us about Him. And so might that online preacher or that Christian conference. But none of those things in themselves are the key to the Christian life. And we'd need to be very careful before we told someone they were, wouldn't we? The key, says Paul, is Christ and our new relationship with Him. We walk, we live in Him. And when the Christian takes this seriously, when they live each day in conscious dependence on and in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they can enjoy a wonderful stability. And Paul reels off here three verbs, and they're all in the realm of stability. He talks about being rooted, being built up, and being established. Firstly, he talks about being rooted. Christians have been rooted in Christ, verse 7. This week, when someone's not looking, walk up to a tree, thick tree, and try to push it over. Really shove with all of your strength, and then run away before anyone sees you. Why can't you do it? Well, because of the roots. Those roots are deep in the soil, and they give the tree incredible strength. Paul's reminding us here that the Christian's life and strength and stability comes from having their roots deep into Christ. In fact, the word there, rooted, is in the past tense. Having been rooted. This is something that's already happened to you if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus. God has already uprooted you, as it were, from your old life, your old identity, and all of those old patterns of the world, and rerooted you, replanted you into the Lord Jesus. And having been rooted in Christ, now God builds the Christian up in Christ. See that language there, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. And now instead of being in the field, if you like, now we're on the building site. Deep and strong foundations have been laid, and the structure is now going up and up and up. So with the Christian. It's in connection with Christ that Christians grow. He is our strength, our progress, our stability. And the word for built up there is now in the present tense. That is, we are to be built up continually in our relationship with Christ. You might be thinking, well, that all sounds a bit abstract. What does that mean? Well, I think the third word really helps. How does it happen, practically speaking? Verse 7, by being established in the faith, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. Do you remember learning to ride a bike? The bike I learned on had stabilizers on the wheels. And just as I started to wobble, the stabilizers would hit the ground and they'd stop the bike falling over. What are the Christian's stabilizers here? The faith. That is the truth about the Lord Jesus, the gospel. Here, I don't think it's so much our faith subjectively, but the faith, the gospel objectively, the truth about Christ. Interesting, isn't it? We might have expected Paul here to say, established in Christ. So why instead does he say, established in the faith, established in the gospel? Well, surely it's because the way we become more established in our relationship with the Lord Jesus is by becoming more established in our knowledge of and confidence in the gospel. The gospel, that is the truth about the Lord Jesus that we've heard and believed as Christians, on the one hand, and a relationship with the Lord Jesus, a living daily relationship with Jesus on the other, go together and shouldn't be separated or set against each other. Think of person A. Person A loves the idea of a relationship with Jesus. It sounds spiritual and mystical and organic and dynamic, but they're not a fan of Bible study, of studying the gospel they've been taught. All of those unspiritual words, those unspiritual feeling, sort of intellectual Bible studies, all that mental exertion. Now, what do you think Paul would say to them? Well, he might commend their desire to know the Lord Jesus. But might he not also remind them, if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, you need to become more established in the gospel. They can't be separated. Christianity doesn't bypass the mind. My relationship with Christ necessarily involves my mind. Believing truths about the Lord Jesus. Now, why else, of course, has Paul written here a letter full of truths about Christ? Now, why not just tell the Colossians to sit in a cave and meditate until they feel Christ's presence? He expects the church to pore over this letter, to study the words and their meaning, and the meaning of the words in relationship with other words and sentences and paragraphs, in order to be built up in Christ. That's what it's for. Later on in Colossians, Paul will urge this church to let the word of Christ, that is the truth of the gospel, dwell in them richly. Sing it when we're allowed. Pray it. Share it. Study it. Why? Because that's how we're built up in our relationship with him. Of course, there is also person B, isn't there? And person B is all about Bible study. For them, it's a thrilling intellectual exercise. It's a puzzle to be solved. They love the satisfaction of taking a passage and figuring it out. Now, what might Paul say to them? Well, he'd probably commend them for their devotion to the truth, first of all, to the faith. But he might also want to remind them of the purpose of their study. The goal, in the end, isn't to solve a puzzle, but to know a person. The Bible doesn't give us a problem to be solved, but a person to be known and loved and related to and relied upon each day. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Christian life. He's not just the door at the entrance. He's the pathway along the journey, and he's the destination when we finally arrive at the end. Everything we need is found in Christ. And isn't that a reason for joyful thanksgiving? Paul's letters are saturated with thanksgiving, and all because he knows Christ and all of God's fullness in him. And he's at it again, verse 7, urging his Colossian readers to abound in thanksgiving. The Christian can say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are everything I need. Not only for forgiveness and peace with God and a wonderful inheritance to come, but everything I need for today and then for the day after, for stability, for growth, and for every step in the Christian life." So here we are at the beginning of a new year. Ideas may be coming at us left, right, and center. This is the key. This is the secret. Christian, you already have it because you already have him. Everything you need, you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all of God's fullness for you. God has filled you up to the top, to the brim, with the Lord Jesus. So here's a resolution we might adopt as we begin a new year. Continue in Christ. Continue in Christ. Don't move on from him. Don't shift from his gospel. Don't think you need to top him up with something else. Trust in him. Depend on him. Continue in him. As Paul puts it, "As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that all of your fullness for us is found in Christ. We praise you for his glorious supremacy. There is no one higher than him. We thank you for his wonderful sufficiency. We need no one to save us beyond him. There is no salvation to be found outside of him. And all we need comes from him. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us as we begin a new year to keep our eyes firmly fixed on the Lord Jesus. Help us each day to depend on him, to love him, to speak about him to others, to trust him. Help us, please, by your Spirit, to walk in him. In Jesus' name, amen.